7 this morning, Acts chapter number 27. As you're turning there, I'll remind you that God manifests Himself through His church. We have here a great text that illustrates so wonderfully the power of the testimony of faith. The power of the testimony of faith. In this great chapter, I've titled the message, The Voyage of Life. We find a stark contrast between the Apostle Paul and the owners and captain and crew and other prisoners of the ship. In Acts chapter 27, we have the record here of the Apostle Paul had appealed to Caesar. God had come to the Apostle Paul and confirmed to him that he must testify in Rome. The Apostle Paul knew by the promise of God, by the purpose of God, that he would go to Rome and give the testimony of Jesus Christ. And as he boarded the ship, we find here that several things transpired where God began to reveal and glorify Himself through His servant, the Apostle Paul. I want you to see in this great story, in this great text of the ship and the sailing, I want you to see here how that God does seek to use His people in the midst of a dark and blinded world. Notice with me, if you will, and let's begin here in verse number 9. Now when much time was spent and was sailing was now dangerous because the fast was now already past, Paul admonished them and said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more partly advised to depart thence also, if by any means they might attain to thence, and there to winter, which is in the haven of Crete, and lie toward the south, west, and north west. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind, a Euryclidon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive. As you see here in our text of Scripture, we have here the Apostle Paul coming forward to admonish them. I want you to see, first of all, his admonishment. I want you to see here that the Apostle Paul was not speaking as a sailing expert. The Apostle Paul was not a brash, nor was he a loud, outspoken person who thought highly of himself and always sought, listen, attention. The Apostle Paul was not speaking here boldly as if he knew more than these who were professional sailors. He was speaking as a man of God. He is speaking here as a man full of the Spirit of God. Paul's authority was the fact that he knew God and was a servant of the Lord. If you'll note with me in verse 23, the Bible said, For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. You remember that the story of Paul had been very prominent. If we look back and remind ourselves of previous chapters, we understand that the knowledge of Paul had spread. As a matter of fact, that in chapter number 24, the Bible actually tells us here that great things were happening, that they were coming. And in chapter 19, it says that the gift of miracles was being displayed in the Apostle Paul. Let me read for you that portion. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto them sick handkerchiefs and aprons, the disease departed from them, evil spirits went out of them. And so the fame of Paul had spread. Matter of fact, we find, as we mentioned in 24:5, For we found this fellow, a persistent fellow, a mover of sedition among all the Jews throughout the world and a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. What I'm trying to establish is that the captain, the owner, the sailors and the crew and the rest of them knew probably a great deal about what was said of the Apostle Paul. For the knowledge of his preaching, the knowledge of the miracles that were transformed, a knowledge of the disturbance had spread. It was worldwide. He brought before civil authorities. And now he was placed as a prisoner aboard this ship. And so Paul was not speaking simply as an obnoxious person, a know-it-all, but Paul was sharing something, listen, that God had confirmed to him that there was a danger on this ship and wanted them to know that he perceived that there would be great damage and perhaps a loss of life. And so God was establishing a distinction that the Apostle Paul was a man who spoke with authority. You see, God has given us authority for which we speak. You and I, as we have come to know Christ, as we have trusted in Him, as we have embraced the Word of God, we put our faith in it, we've become students of the Word of God, we have studied it, we are learning of it, we read it and should read it daily and study it, and we have learned what God has revealed, and so when we have opportunity, God stirs our heart to tell things that we know for a fact. If I hear two people talking about, they're not sure if something is wrong or not anymore. You know what happens? There's something that boils up inside of me. Because you know what? I want to tell them, well, listen, I'm not here to share an opinion, but I can tell you what the Bible says. I can tell you what the Bible says. When I hear people talking about, listen, well, you know, there's so many ways, and listen, this way and that way, and listen, it just boils up within me, and I can tell you, listen, the Word of God says there's one way, and it's through Jesus Christ. You see, when God gives you the authority of His Word, it gives you a case of the can't help it, you just simply have to share. When people are grasping for truth, when they have no idea what they're talking about, listen, it's not because I want to be obnoxious, not because I'm a know-it-all, but listen, I have read, I have listened, and I have heard what God has said. And so it compels me to want to speak and to share. I was at the bank one day, and the lady didn't realize I was standing there because she knew who I was, and she was talking with the other teller, and she said, all this religious mess and all preachers, all of them phony. She turned around and I said, yes, ma'am, a lot of them are. I said, but don't count us all in. I said, some of us love the Lord Jesus, love the truth, trying our best to love and serve Him and serve other people. I got a case of the couldn't help it. Now listen, I hear this, oh, everybody down that church is hypocrite. Now wait a minute. Let me tell you some things some of our people have done. I defend you whenever I'm out in public. I defend you. And they want to come and tell me your old stories. I told one person, I said, yeah, that was 30 years ago. I said, people change. So let me tell you some things that man has done in the last 20 years for Jesus. I said, God changes people. Jesus saves. He'll save you if you'll trust Him. You see, Paul was not just trying to be obnoxious and the know-it-all, you know. Listen. He had an impulse from the Spirit of God. Why? Because this man walked with God. This man had an ear for the voice of the Lord. God gave revelation to him. God spoke to him. And listen, as you and I read the Word of God and as we study it, God will teach you some things. God will instruct you. And God wants you on special occasions not to be obnoxious, not a know-it-all. But when you hear people discussing things and they don't have any idea what they're talking about, listen, it's an opportunity for you to tell them, listen, this is what God has to say. And sometimes, who do you think you are? I'm a nobody. But listen, I happen to know God, and I know what He says. having to know what he says. And so the Apostle Paul admonished them. But here's what I want you to see. They knew about him. They knew there was a testimony, a witness, a report of him. They knew this man claimed to know God. They knew this man was an apostle of Jesus Christ. They knew this man, listen, there were miracles associated with him and his ministry. And they knew that he had been arrested because he was faithful to defend his Savior and to preach the gospel and to stand for what he believed. And so, listen, when he spoke, they should have given some kind of attention, but they dismissed it quickly. And so, listen, they had rather trust in the knowledge of men. And so notice, firstly, the admonition. Notice, secondly, their disposition. Verse number 11, nevertheless, kind of like, are you done? Are you finished? Then they got down to business. Now let's discuss this with those who know what they're talking about. We have those who have knowledge by experience. We have knowledge by observation. We are well skilled in this matter. We know exactly what we're doing. We are men, listen, who understand trade winds. We know navigation by the stars. We know the vessels, we know the currents, we know the tides. We have sailed many, many times before. We know exactly what we're doing. I want to tell you, however, in life, there are things come unexpected. Many people, listen, just like the mockers who mocked, as Peter recorded, listen, in the second epistle, that they mocked and said, where is the promise of His coming? For all things continue as they were since the fathers fell asleep. We can handle it. We'll be fine. We have enough experience. We know what we're doing. And so they trusted, rather than hearing, having any attention to Paul, giving any consideration that he might be truly a man of God and that, listen, that the Spirit of God might be with him and believed any of his report. No, we trust in our experts, the knowledge of man. The science of sailing, walking by sight, seeing is believing. And so they put their trust in the knowledge of men. You realize that's what we're up against today? People trust in the knowledge and wisdom of men. They trust in those who have observed, who've calculated and experimented. And they have taken all that. They've become experts of our day. And we have experts of our day. And one thing common about most of the experts of our day, the one thing they know nothing about is the Word of God. The one thing that they give no credit to, no belief in, no respect or reverence for is anything to do with the Bible, the Word of God. Matter of fact, most of our worldly experts have contempt for what is. And men trust them today in the voyage of life. And so what do we have? We have people, listen, trying to establish a life, trying, listen, to build a marriage, trying to have homes, trying to have careers, trying to make decisions, trying to make, listen, wise things. And so they go to all the human experts. All of their knowledge and observation. I went to a seminar foolishly about 40 years ago to listen about how to raise a family from a man who wasn't married and had not had to tell us how to raise kids and he didn't have any. I thought that was kind of silly. And truth is, a lot of things that he has taught over the years just not right. And certainly that was a red flag. But here I want you to see their disposition. It's the disposition of the world. When they hear a testimony of God, hear a testimony of Christ, hear a testimony of the believer's salvation, when we come to tell the story of how God saved us and how God rescued us and saved us from sin and saved us from corruption and saved us from destroying our lives. And listen, turned us around and filled us with joy and peace. And listen, He has blessed us and listen, changed our lives. And what did they do? Are you done? We're going to raise our children from Dr. Spock. we're going to do what the educators tell us. We don't need Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We have Dr. Phil. All we need, we'll be fine. We'll do good. We'll be fine. And so, listen, one thing common about men is they're all transgressors. And they all have corruption. They all have self-interest. But God has given us His testimony. God has given His record. And listen, God is using His church. And we see a picture here of what God is doing here in the Apostle Paul's life. God is using the Apostle Paul, listen, to manifest Himself to a people who walk in darkness, to a people who are blind to the truth. And God now is separating the Apostle Paul that He might confirm that what he has spoken is true. And so we find out their supposition. Look at verse number 13. Can you see pride and arrogance at the helm of the ship? What does the Bible say? The Bible says there in the Scripture, and when the south wind blew softly, oh, isn't it nice? Supposing that they had obtained their purpose. You know what that is? That is a reflection of their defiance. I'm sure they thought about, and it was a conversation, what Paul said. You know why? Because people are superstitious. And though the pride wouldn't allow them, listen, to have a serious discussion, I don't think the captain, the owner, got back and said, hey, you think there's anything to this thing? No, pride wouldn't let them do that. But you know where it was? It was in their mind. And I could see the owner of the ship going home and laying down at night. You know, heard a lot of things about this fellow. Nah. I'm sure the captain of the ship, I'm sure in his mind he thought, I wonder. Reckon there's something to it? They probably justified it. Well, he's a prisoner. He's going to Rome. He just don't want to get there. He didn't trust what he said. He don't want to end up over here. He's just trying to get a stop and make a trip. But you know, he's weighing in his mind. But you know, they got to sailing. Brother Tim's there sailing. Man, the south wind blowing softly. I can see him at the helm of the ship. Beautiful day, isn't it? Beautiful day. Great day for sailing. You know what he's saying under his breath? Told you so. He's supposing. Could I tell you, there's a whole world of folk around you who are supposing. They hear, they know. They've heard all their lives about a day you might meet the Lord. They've heard the story, Stephanie, of heaven and hell. And they've heard about Jesus Christ. And they've heard about salvation. They've heard about the flames of hell. They've heard about the coming of Christ. But you know what? That's pretty dangerous. Just sail along and avoid the life. Hit a rough seas and they think about it a little bit. No, it's all right. It's all right. Kind of like Ford. You ever been around people who flew for the first time? Then they finally relax just a little bit. Knuckles turn back the right color. They eventually finally look out the window. Kind of like that. They relax. Finally. Everything's going to be all right. Hit turbulence. Starts all over again. They suppose. You know what they're supposing? I'll tell you what they're supposing. Ain't nothing going to happen. There are folk all around you, and they're supposing ain't nothing going to happen. Right. Jesus ain't really coming back. There ain't nothing to that heaven hell thing. No. They're supposing. See there. You know what happens? Because God, in the age of grace, has delayed His judgments, because they don't come quick and concise as they did before Christ, there was a time, listen, when God dealt with it instantly. And judgment came and fell upon them. But the Bible explains that during the age of grace, God, not willing that any should perish, that God is long-suffering. He is withholding His judgment. Doesn't mean God has changed His mind. He's withheld it so that men have a greater opportunity to be saved. And so men have taken what is meant to be God's mercy and they've abused it by supposing that they know God at all. And they're just saying, supposing. A lot of supposition in the world. Just supposing. Never going to happen. But then we find, look what takes place. The Bible said all of a sudden, in verse number 14, uh-oh, now we find something's taking place. Now all of a sudden, the wind begins to blow, and it gets stronger and stronger and more severe. Nothing to fear, no problem, nothing going to happen, but now all of a sudden things begin to disturb them. Now their suppositions have changed. Now, listen, they have begun to open up their minds to the possibility. You see, that probably is a part of your testimony that you were sailing along supposing, as the south wind blew softly, that everything was fine, but listen, thank God in His mercy He came and disturbed your voyage of life. And now your confidence that everything's going to be all right has been severely shaken. Now the possibilities, listen, of worse things that may await you have now come and grabbed hold of your heart. You see, God was preparing these men, listen, to heed God's message through His servant. And so now the storm had come against them. I want you to see their desperation. The Bible says here that the ship was caught in the wind. They could not bear up. They just let her drive. They lost control. In their desperation, they lost control. In the voyage of life, listen, you continue to ride, sin long enough, it'll take you to places you never intended to go. I never dreamed that this would end up the way it is. I didn't set out on this course. How in the world did I end up where I've ended up? I'll tell you why. Because you'll lose control. Sin has the power just to overtake a man. And he does things he knows he shouldn't do. Most transgressors and sinners we know, they know it's not right. Deep down they know it's not right. And why do they do it? Because they don't have control. It's control of them. I've seen people on the voyage of destruction and they were on the fast lane. And they knew it all the while. And they could see it in the horizon. But they couldn't stop it. Still going. Still sailing. Not only did they lose control, but look at their desperation, the loss of their cargo. Here we find that all the precious things that they were in charge of, they had to begin to throw it overboard. It cost them something. Sin always will cost us something. It'll cost us some precious things that we didn't realize that we'd have to pay. And that's the nature of sin on the voyage of life. It will cost you. On this voyage of life, they lost their coordinates. If you notice here in the Scriptures, that the Bible references the fact that because of the storm, verse 20, neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. You know what that means? That means their ability to navigate was gone. They have no idea where they're at, nor what direction they're going. And so, listen, they didn't know where they were. They were lost. That's the voyage of life when we turn our deaf ear away from God and refuse to heed what God's message is. Not only going to a place they didn't want to go. Listen, they lost control. It cost them something. They had to throw out the cargo. And now they had lost those precious things. And now here they are. They didn't have their coordinates. They had no idea where they were or how to get back or where safety's to be found. so God now is preparing all aboard that ship. They had lost now comfort and consolation. The Bible said they reached a place here. And verse number 20, that no small tempest left us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. You know what? They reached the place, listen, where they didn't think there was any hope for them at all. It was gone. You know what occurred to them as they swallowed hard from the prideful look of the captain down to the crew, down to the prisoners, all on board? Listen, they all had that wide-eyed, sobering look that we're going to die. We're going to die. They had tried everything. They had taken all their experience, all their abilities, all, listen, that they had been taught and fighting the storm and what to do, listen, with all of the ship. And they toss out all the lading of the ship and end up throwing the tackle, that ability to sail even. They got rid of everything they could, listen, to bury any weight that they might stay afloat. And they finally reached the place where they were in desperation. Then notice the Apostle Paul. Stage has been set. Verse 21, we find the confirmation of the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul is not trying to rub their face in it. He's trying to establish a principle. In verse 21, but after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not to have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. The Apostle Paul starts with a confirmation. You know why? You know why you're going through this? Because you didn't heed the Word of God in the beginning. You didn't listen. You rejected what God has to say. He came forth with the confirmation that, listen, their problems was simply because they had not heeded God's message. The Bible reminds us, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. The Bible tells us that the Word of God shall not return void. The Bible tells us even those who disobeyed and those who rejected Noah, the Bible said, 1 Peter 3:19, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison. You know what that was? That was a confirmation that it was true. There'll be nobody in hell that didn't know why they're not there. And why they're there. And the opportunities they had. And yet they rejected. There'll be no cries of innocency. Be no cries. Why? Because the Bible says every knee shall bow. Every tongue confess that Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. The Bible says, listen, that the small and the great and the dead, sea gave up their dead and all the dead, and they shall appear before that great white throne judgment of God. You see, God is glorified by the preaching of the Word, whether it's accepted or rejected. Because men in heaven confirmed it, men in hell confirmed it. God is true. Jesus Christ is the Savior. It always was true. It always shall be true. It's confirmed from both places. Everybody's going to testify. God is glorified. And so we find here that the Apostle Paul comes forward. Notice in verse number 22, the salvation. He said, now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whose I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Notice here, there was one on board the ship who had the spirit of calmness and assurance, while the rest of them had that distant look of the fear of death. There was one on board now to whom God had set the stage. There was one now who was, and he was the only one capable of command. in the crisis, in the possibility of the loss of their life, there is one man, Brother Charles, who now is worthy of commanding the vessel. Why? Because this man's faith and hope has not been shattered. His calmness has not been disturbed. His rationality, listen, his spirit of thought, he is capable of command. And who is he? He's the one who believes God. He's the one who knows the Lord. He's the one who talks with Him. He is the one in fellowship with the Lord God. He is the one who knows, listen, that which no man knows. He's the one who has a communion with He who rules over all things and is greater than the wind and greater than the storm. And greater than the thunder, and greater than the lightning, there is one who knows Him who is greater than all. And so now he comes aboard the ship. He had been dismissed when they supposed. I'm sure they were dismissing what he said when the south wind blew softly. I'm sure they mocked him. I'm sure they laughed, persecuted him. But now, after the crisis has hit and their hope is gone, guess what? They're listening to everything he says. God has a way of bringing man down from his lofty position. God has a way of taking a man down from his self-righteousness and the pride of life. And the fact that he is self-sufficient, needs nothing. I listen, that nobody tell me what to do, and I don't need anything. I don't need anybody. I'm fine by myself. I don't need anything from anybody. But boy, they're all sitting now to listen to what the servant of the Most High God has to say. Because they note in him there is a peace, there is a resolve. There's an assurance. Do you see in this scripture how God desires to use His church in the midst of this world? And how important it is that we be full of the Spirit and we be filled with faith in God. Because God will use your life and God will set the stage when somebody wants to hear what you have to say. Most of the time, by the way, they mock us, ridicule us, laugh about us, call us all kind of things. But when their world comes crashing down, don't be surprised if they pull you aside and say, "Can I talk to you for a minute?" I've had some of the worst individuals that mocked, ridiculed me, and laughed, but I've had them pull me aside. Say, "Preacher, would you pray for me?" I have had some, listen, who paid me no attention, who lived in the filth of this world befriended them, got to know them. And listen, I knew, listen, that they mocked me and they lied to me and they had no interest in those things. But I had them come knock on the door one day and said, "Preacher, I've got to appear before the judge. Would you come with me?" You see, most of the time, you're going to be laughed at. Most of the time, you'll be ridiculed, mocked. But if you'll let God, you know what He'll do? He'll give you an occasion to speak for Him. Huh? And He'll give you an occasion where somebody is going to listen. Isn't it important that we people of faith have that peace and rest and blessed assurance God gives us through His Word? Because everybody on board that ship was in a crisis and they had lost all hope. Here comes one in the midst of the storm, peace and calmness. Why? This man's heard from heaven. This man has heard the voice of God. This man can tell us things that will happen before they happen. God's. Listen, the opportunity was given. The Apostle Paul come and he shared with him. Hey, his calmness was based upon his relationship with the Almighty God. Here's a man who knows the Word of God. Here's a man who knows God's faithfulness. You know what he told in testimony? He said, thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day was I in the deep. This is the same man stood before him. And here we go again. He'd been in three shipwrecks. One time he spent a day and a night in the water. If my understanding is right, that is before this event. You've been through it before. You know what we are? We are people who have experienced God's faithfulness. With every new crisis, there's a bunch of them in the rearview mirror. God led me through. I've been delivered, been rescued, been helped, been lifted up, been strengthened. Many, many times before, God is faithful. The Apostle Paul stood there firmly, confidently. Not only because he knew the Word of God, he knew the faithfulness of God. God had never failed him. And you know what? He stood there also because he knew that if it were be the last day, he'd be with Jesus in glory. And so he stood there with repose, peace, and calmness. And God set the stage. Now the captain and crew were powerless and desperate against the mighty forces. And listen, now the stage was set where there was no high priest to smite him on the mouth. There were no assembly of those who followed him from another village to mock him and attack him and ridicule him and cry out against him. Now it was just between him and these people who were in a hopeless state. Can I give you this principle? Don't you heed it. And think of it in present as well as future terms. The day of judgment will always manifest the sons of God. The day of judgment will always manifest the sons of God. That's not only future, Brother Alford, but it's in the present. When God judges this nation, which He is doing and will do, it will manifest who His children are. When God sends judgment in a society, when God sends judgment in a family unit, the sons of God are always men. They always rise to the surface. When all others are stricken by fear, and overcome by sorrow and dismay and crisis afflicts them, listen, then the sons of God will be manifest. Why? Because we have firm footing upon which we stand. Because I know the Lord. I know His faithfulness. And I know life eternal. Look how God is seeking to use His church in these days. God will manifest Himself through you in the midst of the toil and trouble of life, not only yours, but the lives of others. When Christ is hit, it's a time for those who know Christ to shine. It's a time for the testimony of faith to be strong. How vital that we manifest the spirit of blessed assurance that we sing of and we share. And we tell others that I know I'm saved. I have no doubt about it. I am fully persuaded. I know that eternal life is mine. I know that God is with me. I know that God will never forsake me. I know that God loves me. I know, listen, that I have eternal life. Therefore, in a crisis, you need to manifest. Other people need to see it and they need to hear it. And God will set the stage where there's nobody there to mock, persecute, ridicule. Folk just be there to listen. When that crisis comes, will you rise up and be a testimony for Jesus?